Today, we'd like to see the title of a salvation part in the principles of the doctrine of Christ in Hebrews chapter 5, verses 13 and 14, and Hebrews chapter 6, verses 1 and 2. For non-word people, we'd like to suggest five questions. Number one, what does the salvation, conversion, or regeneration require in general? Question two, what's the difference between the baptism in the name of Jesus Christ, or water baptism, and the separate baptism, or the Holy Spirit falling or coming upon me? Question three, how do I know whether or not the Holy Spirit dwells in me? Question four, how do I know that I am a carnal or a baby Christian or a spiritual, full-age, mature Christian? Last question, how can we go on to the perfection? How can we go on to the perfection? First of all, we want to see background. The term of salvation used in the past, present, and future tenses, the relationship between faith and works, water baptism by immersion or sprinkling, and repentance after conversion sometimes give us hard time on assurance of salvation. We just try to explain at best. Psalm chapter 1, verses 1 and 2, blessed is the man that walks not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor stands in the way of sinners, nor sits in the seat of the scornful, but his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law does he meditate day and night. Also, 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 16, as also in all his epistles, speaking in them of these things, in which are some things hard to be understood, which they that are unlearned and unstable rest, as they do also the other scriptures, unto their own destruction. John chapter 21, verse 25, and there are also many other things which Jesus did, the which, if they should be written, everyone, I suppose that even the world itself could not contain the books that should be written. Amen. Since salvation is personal, each of us calls here I. Many relevant verses to topics are in the Bible. Topical studies in the Bible are effective to understand the principles of the doctrine of Christ. Hebrews chapter 5, verses 13 and 14. For everyone that uses milk is unskillful in the word of righteousness, for he is a babe. But strong meat or solid food belongs to them that are of full age or full heart, matures. Even those who, by reason of use, have their senses exercised to discern both good and evil. So milk babe, 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verses 1 to 3, disciple Paul, inspired by the Holy Spirit, introduced the baby Christian or carnal Christian, not spiritual Christian, or a full-aged Christian, or a not mature Christian. Here, 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verses 1 and 3, and I, brethren, could not speak unto you as unto spiritual or mature, but as unto carnal or baby, even as unto babies in Christ. I have fed you with the milk and not with meat or solid food, for hitherto you were not able to bear it, neither yet now are you able. For you are yet carnal. So carnal creature or baby creature. For whereas there is among you envy and strife and divisions, are you not carnal and walk as men? So basically, some Corinthian Christians are still baby creature, which meaning they stay on milk level. Or Hebrews chapter 6, verses 1 and 2 called, they stay principles of doctrines of Christ. Then meaning basics of a Christian faith. They do not try to digest more Bible up to entire Bible. New King James Version say elementary principles of Christ. Elementary school, middle school, high school, elementary, very basic of a Christian faith. So Hebrews chapter 6, verse 1 and 2. Therefore, living meaning, you know, lift from dead level, then or advance to higher level, advance to digest more word of God in the Bible. Let us go on unto perfection. Perfection meaning let us on to be mature, not laying again the foundation of repentance from the dead works. Here introduce the basics of a Christian faith or principles of a doctrine of Christ. Repentance from dead works and of faith toward God, of the doctrine of baptisms. Here, baptisms are plural. So, baptism in the Bible, we can see it continually. One baptism, water baptism. So, just new believer. So, water baptism ceremony. Or at the work of a water baptism ceremony. The other one, certain point, we have a separate baptism. That's called as baptism with the Holy Spirit. That moment we can be witness to Christ. So, and of laying on our hands. So when we pray for ill people, so often we lay on over our hands to ill people. So laying on our hands and of resurrection of the dead and over eternal judgment. Those things are principles of the doctrine of Christ. Church purpose, so first of all, your church purpose is for perfecting. First, the church purpose to make a baby Christian to grow up to be mature Christian. Church meaning the group of Christian or the group of born-again Christian, excluding non-Christian. Even if somebody go to church every Sunday, if he or she does not believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, but he or she appears a member of a church, but in the heart, in the matter of her heart, he or she is not a part of that local church either. So church meaning the group of born-again Christian. Matthew chapter 16, verse 15 to 18, Jesus showed us who is a Christian, born-again Christian. Jesus said unto them, but whom say you that I am? And Simon Peter answered and said, you are the Christ, the Son of a living God. And Jesus answered and said unto him, blessed are you, Simon, but Jonah, for flesh and blood has not revealed it unto you, but my Father, which is in heaven. And I say also unto you that you are Peter, and upon this rock I will build my church. So basically, this rock meaning not Peter's dead body, this rock meaning Peter's confession over his faith, "You are Christ, the Son of the living God." Christ is a Greek word meaning ordained one. So Jesus ordained by God. So Christ, Hebrew word Messiah. So the Son of the living God. So based upon your faith, Christ, the Son of the living God, so Jesus is building his church. So which meaning the church is a member or members of the body of Christ, which is a church. So whoever has that faith. And the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. So here, Jesus gives assurance over faith. Hell cannot prevail against it, against church. So then also the local church, on the earth there are many local churches. Local church not because of Jesus Christ, local church because of human being, because of Christians. Human beings are limited to place and time. That's why we need a local church. But in the sight of the Lord Jesus Christ, one universal church, one body of Christ. Ephesians chapter 1, verse 22-23 said, "And had put all things under his feet, all creatures under Jesus' feet." All creatures, including the earth, all creatures, all animals, all plants, also whole universe under his feet, "and gave him," the God gave Jesus, "to be the head over all things, all creatures, the whole universe, to the church." So whole universe there, after church. So the church, to the church, which is his body. So the church is the body of Christ, Jesus' body, the fullness of Jesus that fills all in all. So basically, all creatures, all things, they are up to the church. So church is the head, Jesus Christ, the body. The church's body is the body of Christ. The church is the body of Christ. So here's church means the group over born-again Christians that is extending not only local church extending to all universe. So then church purpose, Ephesians chapter 4, verse 11, 12 said, "And God gave some apostles and some prophets and some evangelists and some pastors and teachers for the perfecting of the saints." So church purpose, perfecting of the saints, which meaning to make a born-again Christian mature or spiritual or full-aged. That's the church purpose. Why? For the work of a ministry. So they work ministry, not only local churches, singing or serving deacon, deaconess, also your home, you know, as a husband or wife or mother, father, or your job, you know, handyman or accountant, where you are called. So the work of the ministry, why? For the edifying of the body of Christ. Because the church, ultimate universal church, build up the body of Christ. The body of Christ, which is a church. So that kind of concept. So in the sight of Jesus, regardless of denomination, regardless of gender, regardless of race, age, no matter what, so based upon faith, you know, whole one body of Christ, which is church, you know, universal church. Then that is church purpose for perfecting. Today, which we read, basically do not stay on basics of a Christian faith, but look advanced to be mature Christian. So digesting entire Bible, up to entire Bible in the Holy Spirit. Then we are seeing salvation part. in the elementary principles of Christ, or salvation part in the principles of doctrine of Christ. Romans chapter 3, verse 23 said, "For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God." How do I know I am a sinner? Because the gospel said, all have sinned, except Jesus Christ. Jesus, 100% man, 100% God. But Jesus is sinless. But except Jesus, all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. So how? Romans chapter 5, verse 12 explained, "Therefore, just as through one man, sin entered the world, and death through sin." Here, death caused by sin. So that's why all men, all people should be dead, because sin, one sin. That's called as original sin. And this death spread to all men, all people, because of all sins. So one man's sin entered the world. Next question, who is the one man? The First Corinthians chapter 15, verse 22 said, "For as in Adam all die, even so in Christ all shall be made alive." So Adam is, through Adam, so all people were introduced sin from Adam. So in Christ, Christ, Messiah. Christ is Greek word, Messiah is Hebrew word, but sound over English, that means ordained one, which meaning God, you know, allowed Jesus as the Savior, that is alive. In Christ, all shall be made alive. Then, first the salvation requirement is we should know, we should acknowledge, we should acknowledge, I am a sinner, you are a sinner, and everybody is a sinner. Then, repentance. Because the book of Acts chapter 2, verse 38, Peter, inspired by the Holy Spirit, then Peter said unto them, unto audience, repent, because all people are sinners, repent. Then Peter, second part, and be baptized every one of you in the name of Jesus Christ. So baptism in the name of Jesus Christ, which means water baptism, for the remission of sins. Remission of sins meaning wash off sins, cleanse you. The third part, you shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. So Peter simply said repent and water baptism and remission of sins, then you will receive the Holy Spirit as the gift. But Peter did not state the belief or faith. It does not mean that belief is not necessary to receive the gift of the Holy Spirit, but we need every word. Matthew chapter 4, verse 4, but Jesus answered and said, it is written, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. Every word, every meaning, every. So, also Peter said, 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 9 said, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. Peter emphasized repentance. So we understand in the context of the entire Bible, so all people are sinners, so nature can, we need to repent. Then we need a faith. Here, John chapter 3, verse 16. This month's meditation, verse John chapter 3, verse 16, over Calvary Chapel, Anaheim Hill, in a calendar this month. For God so loved the world meaning everybody, not only believers, but unbelievers, everybody. God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in him, believes in only begotten Son, God's only Son, should not perish, but have everlasting life. Peter, 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 9 is, should not perish. Peter said repentance, but John said, inspired by the Holy Spirit, because one Spirit, inspired by the Holy Spirit, John said, so here, believed in him. So belief required not to perish. But Peter said, not to perish, repentance is required. So then belief in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. So believing in him, which means accept Jesus in form of a belief, rather than reject Jesus. So just accept Jesus. So belief, so synonym is a faith. So content the same, belief for faith. So that's why the Bible uses interchangeably, belief, faith, interchangeably. I use that. Ephesians chapter 2, verses 8 and 9. For by grace are you saved through faith. Here, salvation requires faith, through faith. And that, not of yourselves. So, no merit required in your part at all. That's why, for born again Christian, there is no merit, such as race, gender, education, rich, wealth, no matter what, handicap or no matter what. So not of yourselves. It is the gift of God. So grace meaning gift of God, not of works. Yeah, not of human works, lest any man should boast. Not human works, but 100% God's works for salvation. That's just so different from other religion. Other religion, the human being tried to reach God, but here, God the Father gave his only begotten Son to human beings. So 100% works by God, not, you know, works by humans. So here, 100% God's works for salvation. Salvation is God's grace, God's 100% gift, freely given, unmerited favor upon your acceptance, not your work, of Jesus in form of faith. So Romans chapter 10, verse 10 also. So one evangelist came to a believer. Then she asked him, do you believe Jesus is the Son of God? So then he said, yes. So in that he said, yes, from his mouth. So, for with the heart man believes unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. So here, heartily faith, believe. So 100% dedicated to Jesus for my whole life. That means we believe Jesus as the Lord. You are my master. So 100% dedicated to Jesus for my whole life, that means Jesus is the master now. Not myself, not anything else, the Lord. Not just Sunday service or a weekday Bible study dedication. Not heartless or dead belief, dead faith. Faith without works is dead. One example, devil's faith without works. James chapter 2, verse 19 said, you believe that there is one God. You do well. The devils also believe and tremble. So verse 26, for as the body without the spirit is dead, so faith without works is dead also. So salvation is based upon personal. So you know, you acknowledge I am sinner. Then I repent. Then I faith in Christ. All, you know, the personal. So the other people doesn't know exactly your heart. So the other people acknowledge your faith. Need a certain works. That works is the water baptism ceremony. So then is a faith in Jesus. Jesus' name, Jesus means the Lord is salvation.
But Jesus has other functional titles. So Jesus, what happened to Jesus? So Jesus' death with bloodshed and resurrection. Romans chapter 3, verse 25. Whom God has set forth to be a propitiation or a sacrifice through faith in his blood. So Jesus was dead with his blood. Without blood, no cleanse of sin. So blood is essential. So to declare his righteousness for the remission of sins. So blood is remit or cleanse away your sins or my sins that are passed through the forbearance of God. So we believe, we have a faith in Jesus who was dead with blood shed for my sin. That is cleanse away, you know, past the sin. Then Romans chapter 5, verse 10. For if when we were enemies or we were non-believers or non-Christians, we were reconciled to God the Father by the death of his Son. Much more, being reconciled, we shall be saved by his life. So here is shall be saved, the future tense. Future tense is ultimate salvation or glorification. So generally, salvation is a present perfect tense. Present perfect tense meaning present plus past tense. On a certain date, I repent. So I accept Jesus as the Lord, Christ the Savior, then in the water baptism. That is a past tense. But right now, I am still born again Christian. So that is past plus present. That's called present perfect tense. But here, will future will be saved by his life, which meaning we will meet Jesus in heaven by my physical death or by rapture when Jesus coming again in heaven. So that sense. 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 14. And if Christ be not risen, or Christ did not resurrect, be not risen, then is our preaching vain, and your faith is also vain. So we should believe in Jesus, resurrection essential. Resurrection meaning is Jesus got victory over the power of death. Death caused by sin. Sin controlled by Satan. So which means resurrection? Jesus got victory over Satan. Under Satan, there are a lot of devils. So that's why it's extremely important. So first, we repent, original sin. That sin is Adam's original sin. So repent. Then we have a faith in Jesus, who was dead with bloodshed and resurrected. Then we need other functional titles. Philippians chapter 3, verse 20. For our conversation is in heaven, from whence also we look for the Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. Other function is Savior and the Lord. First of all, Savior meaning eternal death. You know, Jesus saved me from eternal death. You know, by his death with bloodshed and resurrection saved me. That is the past tense. And the present tense too. Savior meaning because right now I am being sanctified. Just like Jesus Christ. That sense is a present sense of a Savior too, sanctified. That call is a progressive salvation, which means a sanctification. Then is a future sense too, when we meet Jesus, who is seated at the right hand of God the Father. That is a glorification or ultimate salvation. So the Savior applies not only past tense, present tense, but also future tense of Savior. The Lord meaning during in a human life, you are my master. No matter what, my decision always follow. Your decision is my decision. That means the Lord. Jesus' name, Christ means ordained by God. So which means Jesus not by himself ordained as Savior, the Lord, for the people, not by himself. God the Father ordains Jesus as the Savior of all the world, of all believers, the Lord. So that kind of meaning. So the Lord Jesus Christ as the Savior. Then the Peter later said, Acts of chapter 2, verse 38b, and be baptized every one of you in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins. So this is a water baptism in the name of Jesus Christ. Also, Jesus told his disciples water baptism, go you therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost. So we can baptize new believers before other Christians in the name of Jesus Christ and in the name of God the Father, in the name of the Son of God, and in the name of the Holy Ghost or Holy Spirit. Ephesians chapter 4, verse 5 said, one Lord, one faith, one baptism. Here, one baptism meaning one water baptism. So one Lord, one faith, only one faith required. One faith in Jesus, who was dead with bloodshed and rose again, Christ as the Savior. Then, book of Acts chapter 2, verse 38, the last part, you shall receive the gift of Holy Spirit. So that moment, at the same time, when you have a faith in the Lord Jesus Christ as Savior, that moment, your sin was remitted, and all gone. Not only past tense, present tense, future tense, because you believe Jesus' resurrection too. Jesus' resurrection meaning Jesus got victory over any satanic power controlling any death caused by sin. So that is, we see that. So next question, how do I know, how do you know whether or not Holy Spirit dwells in me or Holy Spirit is given to me or to you? 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 3 said, wherefore I give you to understand that no man speaking by the Spirit of God calls Jesus accursed. If you curse Jesus, you are not, the saying by the Spirit of God. And that no man can say that Jesus is the Lord, but by the Holy Ghost, Holy Spirit. Because the Holy Spirit make you say Jesus is the Lord. So Holy Spirit who dwells in you make you Jesus the Lord. So when I call Jesus as the Lord, it means Holy Spirit dwells in me. Then now indwelling Holy Spirit person. That's called in a born again Christian. Born again. Here, again meaning second, not third, not first. Again meaning second, born again Christian. Convert to meaning is a change. You know, all the life, Jesus not master, now change to Jesus as the Lord or as a master. Regenerative meaning is a new life, totally new life. John chapter 3, verse 5, Jesus answered, verily, verily, I say unto you, except a man be born of water and of the Spirit, he cannot enter into the kingdom of God. Here, he cannot be saved, enter into the kingdom of God. So, born again Christian is now has a, heavenly citizenship, no longer earthly citizenship at all. So we ultimately, all born-again Christians, have the citizenship of the kingdom of God. It shows that every Christian has two births. First born, physical birth from each mother's womb. Second born is a spiritual birth, born again. So water meaning is to wash body or food. Wash body or food to clean the dirty. So water means in Ephesians chapter 5 verse 26, washing of water by the word. So water is a reminder. So it cleans away my sin by the word of God. So water baptism is our entire body merged into water, is washing off my entire body dirt, which meaning is original sin, you know, coming from Adam, which is coming out. So that's why deaths of all the life, which meaning deaths of all the life merged into the water. Then is coming out of the water, meaning new birth, spiritual birth, new life of the Holy Spirit out of the word. So the work of water baptism ceremony will remind of a heart. So salvation is based upon personal, no grouping. So personal. So I myself, I repent of my sin. I believe in Jesus as the Lord Christ, as the Savior. That also Jesus was dead, was bloodshed, and rose again. So my heart. Then is before the people, before other Christian. Now, so it is a sin to, it is shown to other Christian by water baptism, merged into the water. So which means I repent, you know, all the life, all sin, you know, the death of all life. Then is coming up, meaning the Holy Spirit was in me at that moment, is a new life, so born again. So here, next question, formality. How about the baptism by immersion? In a special case, by sprinkling. So formality, non-issue of essence. So generally, the Bible is immersion, so highly recommend generally we should in water baptism by immersion, but some cases by sprinkling, because of very ill people, so he or she could not, you know, go to work into the river or into a swimming pool, so he or she is not able to get the baptism by immersion. You know, they case before, you know, other Christians by sprinkling on the head, so then he shows cleanse away his old life, unbelief life. Now it's a new life. You know, that's okay. Like a communion service. Communion service originally unleavened bread and the cup of wine. But unleavened bread is a symbol of Jesus' body. But the cup of wine is the symbol of Jesus' blood. But today, a certain local church uses the leavened bread, like a pound cake or, you know, that kind of thing, not like the juicy, you know, the cake, you know, much unleavened bread. Also, the cup of wine, so often we use the cup of grape juice. That is a formality. Formality, non-issue over essence. Then, second question is water. Water is washi, the symbol of washi. That is actually mean repentance by God's word. God's words, you know, teach us what's wrong, what's the sin. So repentance by God's word. Wash body in water baptism ceremony, wash off the original sin of a non-Christian, originated from Adam. Wash food ceremony, wash off daily sin of a Christian to be sanctified, just as the Lord Jesus Christ. So that is in the entire Bible. So 1 John chapter 1, verses 8 to 10. If we say that we have no sin, we mean a born-again Christian, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us. Truth meaning the word of God. So extending to the entire Bible. If we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness, which means all Christians need to be sanctified, to be just like the high standard, the Lord Jesus Christ standard. Jesus Christ, a sinless man, that level. That's why so all Christians are still imperfect. The group of Christians called the church. So therefore, church is imperfect too, because still the things to be repent, or the things to be sanctified, still remain until each Christian meet the Lord Jesus Christ in heaven. That's called glorification stage. Then, here's John chapter 13, verse 10. Jesus said to him, "He who is bathed needs only to wash his feet, but he is completely clean, and you are clean, but not all of you." So we already body washed over, which meaning our state is totally different. We are citizens of heaven, the kingdom of God. Now we need only wash foot, which meaning the sin, to be sanctified, to be rich, the level of Jesus Christ. Then the last question is, can I lose salvation? So according to Bible, no, because spiritual birth is born again. Again meaning second born, not third. If you lose your salvation, obviously require third born required, because once you're born is again. If you lose again, fourth born required, or more born, because the Bible said second born, born again. Therefore, for salvation, repentance, and faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, who died with bloodshed and resurrected as the Savior. At that time, at the same time, remission of your sins, my sin, indwelling Holy Spirit. Followed by the work of water baptism ceremony, because faith without work is death. That face is a devil's face problem. Devils have a face, but without works. So followed by the work of a water baptism ceremony. Simply, that is a salvation, regeneration, conversion, requires repentance and faith in the Lord Jesus Christ as the Savior, followed by baptism. So, elementary principle of Christ don't stay upon the basics of Christian faith. Go on to perfection. Here, Jesus' great commandment and the greatest commandment, also Jesus' plan, you know, how we should go to perfection. Here, Matthew chapter 28, verse 20. Jesus commanded to his disciples, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. So Jesus asked the disciples, teaching everything, which means entire Bible, whole counsel of God, without speaking any his word. Here, he is just, whatsoever I have commanded you, all things, not personal thing. Lord, I am with you always, even unto the end of the world. Amen. Simple as Jesus said, I am with you, the teacher, the disciples. You should teach the Christians all things which Jesus have commanded you. So here, Mark chapter 12, verse 30 and 31, that's the greatest commandment. And you shall love the Lord your God with
all your heart and with all your soul and with all your mind and with all your strength. This is the first commandment, and the second is like, namely this, you shall love your neighbor as yourself. There is none other commandment greater than this. So this is greatest commandment. If I violated this, others would be futile. So here, first time Jesus commandment teaching whatsoever, all things Jesus commanded you, which means all the Bible, whole counsel of God. Second is, you should have agape love. First God and neighbor. That is Jesus' commandment to be perfection, to perfecting, to perfection. Then, doctrine of baptism, plural. This is element principles of Christ due. Here, generally, water baptism is a baptism in the name of Jesus Christ. Then, spirit baptism, called as a baptism with the Spirit, which meaning Holy Spirit falling upon me. So, water baptism, baptized with water, entire body, but spirit baptism, baptized with the Holy Spirit, entire body. So, Book of Acts, chapter 8, verse 16, John and Peter said, for as yet he was fallen upon none of them, only they were baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. This meaning only they were baptized, water baptism, not falling upon none of them, meaning not Holy Spirit falling upon none of them. Book of Acts chapter 1 verse 8, but you shall receive power. After that, Holy Spirit is come upon you, you shall be witnesses unto me, both in Jerusalem and in all Judea and in Samaria and into the uttermost part of the earth. Therefore, regeneration, conversion, indwelling Holy Spirit versus overflowing Holy Spirit. That means the fruit of the Holy Spirit is agape love, unconditional love. The greatest gift of Holy Spirit is agape love. So overflowing agape love is evidence whether or not you are mature or a baby. So the fruit of the Holy Spirit, Galatians chapter 5, verse 19 to 23 said, now the works of flesh are manifest, which are these: adultery, fornication, uncleanness, lasciviousness, idolatry, witchcraft, hatred, variance or contentions, emulation, wrath, strife, seditions, heresies, envyings, murders, drunkenness, revelings, and such like, of the which I tell you before, as I have also told you in time past, that they which do such things, practice such things, shall not inherit the kingdom of God. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. Against such there is no law. Overflowing agape love shows a spiritual or mature creature. Best gifts of the Holy Spirit is agape love. 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 31. But covet earnestly the best gifts, and you yet show I unto you a more excellent way than 1 Corinthians chapter 13, agape love, 13, 1 to 8. Although I speak with the tongues of men and of angels and have not love, I am become as a sounding brass or a tingling cymbal. And although I have the gift of prophecy and understand all mysteries and all knowledge, and although I have all faith so that I could remove mountains and have not love, I am nothing. Although I bestow all my goods to feed the poor people, and although I give my body to be burned,
and have not love, it profits me nothing. Love suffers long and is kind. Love envies not. Love vaunteth not itself, is not perfect, does not behave itself unseemly, seeks not her own, is not easily provoked, thinks no evil, rejoices not in iniquity, but rejoices in the truth, bears all things, believes all things, hopes all things, endures all things. Love never fails, whether there be prophets, they shall fail. Whether there be tongue, they shall cease. Whether there be knowledge, it shall vanish away. So supremacy of love, 1 Corinthians chapter 13, verse 13. And now abides faith, hope, love. These are three. But the greatest of these is love. So other thing of elementary principles of Christ, or others over principles of doctrine of Christ, or others over the basics of a Christian base. So church history, apostles made up their own faith. That's called Apostles' Creed. I believe in God with the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead, and buried. He descended into hell. The third day, he arose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sits on the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence he shall come to judge the quick and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Universal Church, the communion of the saints, for the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. So this is basically the basics of Christian faith. So this is a very good, essential part, apostles cited from the Bible. So that is pretty good. When you are asked, or I am asked of a question, over, are you saved? That's two questions. Just somebody raised a question, are you saved? First one, honest question. Second is dishonest question. Honest question, they are seeking genuine answer. Or they are seeking reasoning, like among pastors. First giver is the question, are you saved? Because of reasoning, in order to teach it. That's the purpose. Or to edify one body of Christ. We are the body of Christ. That is an honest question. They are seeking the genuine answer. But dishonest question, in order to judge or criticize another, or to dispute, or to provoke, or to seek division, or to show pride, the better knowledge than you, kind and so on. So honest question, we may answer this way. 2 Corinthians chapter 13, verse 5. Examine yourselves whether you be in the faith. Prove your own selves. Know you not your own selves, how that Jesus Christ is in you, except that you be reprobate. Simply meaning, if Jesus Christ is in you, you are saved. Present tense. If Jesus Christ is not in you, you are not saved. So very clear. No argument. Salvation, whether or not lost or not. So present tense issue right now. So Jesus Christ is in you or not. So we know that Paul said is when we call Jesus as the Lord, that shows us the Holy Spirit dwells in me. So you may ask, Jesus is the Lord, the master of my life? If you said yes, which means the Holy Spirit dwells in you. Yeah. So very clear. Then is a dishonest question answer. Did somebody raise dishonest question? Because James chapter 4, verse 12, there is one Lord giver. Who is able to save and destroy? Very important. Save is the Lord, not human being, not human speculation, not, you know, very famous pastor. No, only the Lord, one lawgiver, who is able to save and destroy. Who are you that judges another? So no judge another. So each question answered, number one, what does the salvation, conversion, or regeneration require in general? Salvation, regeneration, conversion in general requires repentance and faith in the Lord Jesus Christ as the Savior, followed by baptism. Question two, what is the difference between baptism in the name of Jesus Christ, water baptism, and the Spirit baptism, Holy Spirit falling or coming upon me? The answer, water baptism is baptized with water for a new believer. Spirit baptism is a baptism with the Holy Spirit, which is the fullness of the Holy Spirit for a mature creature. Question three, how do I know whether or not the Holy Spirit dwells in me? When I ask myself, is Jesus my Lord? And I answer yes, because I call Jesus as the Lord, now the Holy Spirit dwells in me, in the 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 3. So next question, how do I know that I am a carnal or a baby Christian or a spiritual, full-age, mature Christian? In Galatians chapter 5, verse 19 to 23, I can know either a carnal babe or a spiritual mature Christian by seeing my works, like either the works of the flesh or the fruit of the Holy Spirit. Last question, how can we go on to the perfection? We can go on to the perfection by leaving the discussion of the basics of Christian peace or elementary principles of Christ and studying through all the Bible in the Spirit. So who is a teacher? I think the teacher is the Holy Spirit. That is the Bible that says, 1 John chapter 2, verse 27, although pastor and teacher deliver the gospel to you, but I am just instrument, indwelling Holy Spirit, teaching you to understand the God's word, make you apply God's word to the world, the witness to Christ. Here, 1 John chapter 2, 27. But the anointing which you have received over him, anointing meaning anointing Holy Spirit, abides in you, indwelling Holy Spirit in you. And you don't need that any man teach you. But as the same anointing, Holy Spirit, teaches you of all things which Jesus commanded, all things, and is truth, and is not a lie, and even as it has taught you, you shall abide in him. So basically, anointing Holy Spirit to teach you. So in order to perfecting, so we should study the Bible in the Holy Spirit. That means. Let's just sing song all together, dear brother. You may lead in the last song. Okay, thank you. Then we will pray with the Lord's Prayer.